thank you for tuning in to our Cross Fellowship Online Message Podcast. Speaking today's message, Brad Duckworth.
Good morning. My name is Brad Duckworth, and obviously Greg DePriest, our lead pastor, and the man normally up here speaking, he's taking some time off this weekend. I've been a member here along with my family for about 10 years now, and I am humbled to be here sharing this message with you this morning and grateful for the opportunity. Greg has been taking us through the study of Hebrews the last few weeks. In the last couple of Sundays, he talked about appropriating God's blessings in our lives, which means take the promises that God has for us and make them our own. Last week, he introduced the concept that is in Hebrews about God's rest. And so this week, today, we're going to look at chapter 4 in Hebrews and dig deeper into this concept of God's rest. Now, we don't often talk about God's rest in normal everyday conversation, I find, do we? But if I could define God's rest in one word, it would be peace. God's rest is a place of peace. And we do talk about peace, don't we? We'll say, I have a peace about this, that it's going to be okay. Or I have a peace in my spirit, that things are just going to be all right. So if God's rest is a place of peace, let's talk about what God's rest is not. God's rest is not a place of stress and anxiety. So let's think about it this way. If we have a scale and we have stress and anxiety on one end of that scale, peace and God's rest is on the very other end of the scale. They're mutually exclusive, which is a really good thing for us, which is a really good thing for Christians. Because if we can learn how and we can get our mind around this concept of entering into God's rest, we can live in a place free of stress and anxiety. And we all want to do that, right? Because we know stress and anxiety, it doesn't feel very good, first of all. But then we also know that it's linked to a lot of really nasty health issues, right? We hear studies all the time about stress leading to heart disease, stroke, diabetes, depression, asthma, high blood pressure, and the list goes on and on and on. I don't think I would be embellishing much if I were to say that stress is deadly. So we don't want stress in our lives, right? But the intriguing thing is that what leads to stress oftentimes are the normal demands that we have, maybe normal and elevated demands of everyday life. The demands of a wife, the demands of a husband, the demands of a mother or a father, work demands, community demands, even church demands. And these are all really good things, right? They're blessings from God to be able to participate, be a mom, a dad, a husband, a wife. But if we're not careful, we will allow those demands to lead to stress. And then there are the unexpected demands that come along, right? Unexpected work challenges, health problems, unexpected marriage problems. And those too, if we're not careful, can lead to very high levels of stress and the debilitating health impacts that come along with it. So today, what we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about that difference between a place of stress and God's rest. A place free of stress and anxiety. And specifically what we're going to talk through is when we feel that we're in a place where the stress is beginning to build up, we're going to talk about taking a rest stop and determining how to get back on the path to peace and God's rest. So let's see what the Bible has to say about that. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, verses 11 and 16. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace and confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word, which helps us understand practically how to live out our faith every day, God. And I pray, Lord, that you are here with us as we open our hearts to your word this morning, that you help us understand how to enter into your peace, because we know that you have an abundant life waiting for us, and we look forward to understanding how to enter into that peace, Lord, your rest. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Hebrews was written to the Jewish Christians. And the Jewish Christians were a people who, they had grown up with the law of Moses, or the Old Testament, if you will, and now that Jesus Christ had come on the scene, they had accepted Christ as their Savior, and so they were learning how to balance their Jewish legacy with what it meant to put their faith in Christ in this concept of grace. And so this message was very, very relevant to them and helpful. And here we are 2,000 years later, and it's very relevant to us too as we learn about practicing our faith and putting our faith in Christ as we work through our everyday lives as well. So there's some key points that jump out at me from the scripture in relation to living in God's rest that I want to share with you. First, right off the bat, we're compelled to make every effort we can to enter into that rest. And then the author explains that making every effort is responding to God in faith and making His Word, which is living and active, the basis for our lives. In other words, defining ourselves and our lives by God's Word is the key to living free from stress and anxiety. And then finally, toward the end of the passage, we are reminded that we have a Savior who understands us and has been through some of the same challenges that we've been through and understands what we're going through and is ready to show us grace. So let's see if I can summarize that. First, make every effort to enter into that rest. Rest comes from practicing our faith based on God's Word. And as we practice that faith, Jesus is there to show us grace. Because we're not going to get it all right, are we? Make every effort to enter into the peace, His rest. That rest, practicing our faith based on His Word, and Jesus is there for us. Now, when I summarize it like that, it makes it sound almost simple, doesn't it? But we know, even though it is simple, and it is simple, it's not always easy, is it? You know, if I'm honest with you, and I'm honest with myself, I find that even though I've known these principles and have been practicing my faith for a while, I still have stress in my life from time to time, and probably a lot more than I would like to admit. See, the reality is we are working through growing in our faith and understanding what His Word means in our life, and that is absolutely okay because God knew that, and that's why Jesus Christ is here to show us grace. So, again today, we're going to spend some time looking at as we grow our faith, and the stress is coming from those everyday demands and some of the challenges that come into our life, how we take a rest stop and get back on the path to God's rest. So the first point I want to talk about is, again, let's think about this. We're in our demands. Challenge comes along maybe. You feel the stress coming up. Take a rest stop and recognize that God allows experience to bring us to maturity. Greg often refers to Henry Blackaby in his study of experiencing God, where Dr. Blackaby makes a biblical case that there are four ways that God speaks to us largely. The first is through His Word in the Bible. The second is through the Holy Spirit. The third is through other people. And the fourth is through the circumstances that come into our lives. Wouldn't it be nice if we lived by God's Word and the Holy Spirit all the time, and we didn't have to have other people speaking into our lives, wouldn't it be nice if we didn't have to have circumstances? So God uses those to speak to us. Now, I'm not there yet. I'm working on it, and I'm growing. But God still needs to use other people and circumstances to help grow me as well. But these circumstances and the experiences that we get from working through these circumstances, they're not meant to sabotage us. They're meant to grow us. But oftentimes we struggle with that concept, don't we? If we have a challenge that comes into our life, we won't immediately connect it to God's purpose for our life. And that brings stress. In other words, if we're not careful and we experience a challenge, our mindset will be on, why is this happening to me? Rather than, I know God is going to use this to grow me toward my purpose and my destiny in life, which can lead to peace. James 1, verses 2 and 4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You know, challenging and circumstances have a neat way of either drawing us to God or drawing us away from God. The question for all of us is, when that challenge comes along, when the demands begin to get high, what are we going to do? Are we going to say, why is this happening? And again, let that lead us to stress? Or are we going to stop and say, I know God is in this. I know He's going to use this to grow me. I may not see it, but I know He's going to use this for His purpose and for my destiny. I began to understand this concept when I was early in life, much younger. Like many of you, I had challenges when I was young. One of those challenges was when I was 14 years old, I was diagnosed with cancer. And so I spent most of my 14th year in and out of hospitals, having malignant tumors removed, testing to determine the extent to which this cancer had gone through my body. And then, of course, treatment to make sure that all these cancer cells were killed and they would never come back again. And praise God, it's been 30 years, and they've never come back, and they're never coming back. But I went through that phase of my life, and that was a very challenging phase. I can still remember so much about it. I found in life that people that go through these challenging experiences like this, a lot of times they fall into two groups. Either they remember a lot about it, and it's vivid to them, or they've blocked it out, and they don't remember much about it at all. I'm one of those that I remember so many details. I remember the conversation in the hospital room with the doctor telling my dad and me, what we cut out of him was malignant, and I need to refer you to a specialist because your son has cancer. I remember the shock of that. I remember the fear that began to well up in me. I remember the questions that came quickly after that. The questions, why me? Is it something I did? Is it sin, God? You know, I was so young in my faith. At 14, I had accepted Christ when I was 9 years old. And so being very young in my faith, I was reaching for everything, and I was connecting, is it sin in my life? And then I began to ask the question, am I going to die? At 14, am I going to die? And to lighten it up a little bit, I remember at 14, in that situation, thinking, I'm not going to get my driver's license next year. This is unfair, God. I really wanted to do that. But I remember the pain, both physical and emotional. I remember the anger that came. The this is not fair part of that situation. And I say all of that to say that I understand what challenge is. Like many of you, I have been through tremendous challenges. And I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But nor would I change what I went through. Nor would I change how I grew from that experience as God took me through that and grew me. You see, because I learned so much in that experience that makes me who I am today, that prepared me for the purpose that God had for my life. And frankly, prepared me for the challenges that would come in the future as well. Because, you know, even though cancer was a challenge and there were other great challenges, that was not as challenging to me as 25 years later, 15 years after my wife and I had been married, when we began to experience marriage challenges. Two people that love each other very, very much, but we're so very different, and we began to allow those differences to rip us apart. And it was very challenging. But I am happy to say that my wife and I are still married, and we're very happy, and our marriage is so very strong. And we've talked about it, and we're convinced that our marriage is stronger than it's ever been because of that challenge that we experienced 4 years ago. If we hadn't gone through that, we would not be where we are in our marriage today. That gives me peace. In the middle of my very difficult challenges, knowing that God has and will use those challenges to grow me toward my destiny, toward the destiny of my family, that gives me tremendous peace. You see, the marriage challenges that my wife and I had, it grew us. But who else was in that? Our kids were in the middle of that too, right? You know, I don't like to think about that. But God used that to grow them as well. I don't know how, but I'm sure He grew them as well through that. God uses these circumstances to grow us. Now, let me connect the challenges I had early in life with the challenge that we had in our marriage. When Laurie and I were in some of our most difficult times in our marriage, I never asked God why. Now, I asked God a lot of questions. What's going on here? What do I need to change? How are you going to use this for your glory? What does this have to do with my destiny, God? But I never felt I needed to ask why. Because of those early challenges that I had in my life, there was a peace there for me, knowing God was going to take us through. I didn't know what the end looked like, but I knew He was going to take us through. And I knew He was going to use this to grow all of us somehow for His purpose and His destiny. In many days, that peace is what got me through. And one more thing I'd like to say about some of these challenges. You know, what I've learned is it's not always about me. I've gone through cancer now, and I've gone through some difficult marriage challenges. God has led us through both of those. And I've learned a lot as a result of it. But God continually allows me to encounter people in my life who are either in the middle of cancer or going through marriage challenges. And somehow God is able to use the experience that I've had in that to bring encouragement to those people. I can't explain it. But when somebody begins to talk about the fear, the pain, the challenge of cancer, I get it. And somehow they detect in me that I get that. And somehow God uses me as an encouragement in that situation. You see, for me, these demands and these challenges, and the Word supports this as well, God uses it to grow us. God uses it for His purpose, for His destiny. So, when the demands are ratcheting up, when an unexpected challenge comes along, please think about taking a rest stop and check your mindset and see if it's on, why is this happening to me? Or is it, I know the God of the universe loves me and I may not understand it, but He's going to use this for His purpose and to grow me and for the destiny in my life. Okay, so let's move on to the second point here. So when you're working through a challenge and you feel the stress welling up and you need a little help getting on the road to God's rest, peace, take a rest stop and approach the challenge looking for the good that God has for you. You know, there's often good in a situation and we just can't see it because we're blinded by our own fear or our inadequacies. We're focusing on ourselves and our inadequacies instead of God and His greatness. Mike Wells, a preacher that Greg used to invite to come, he's now since passed away, but he had a great illustration for how to do this. Thinking about perspective, is your perspective on yourself and the challenge or problem, or is your perspective on God? And he would say, if your perspective is on the challenge, on the problem, it's hard to see God because He's blocked out. But if you will shift your perspective and make the focus on God, all of a sudden, that challenge becomes a lot smaller. You can't see it as much. It's all about our focus, right? And I understand that there are some challenges out there that are so dark and so bad, it's hard to find good in them. You can look back in our history and recognize that there are some of those. But the vast majority, I think, of the things that we run into, there is good in it, and we miss it because we're not focused on God and looking for the good. As I look back on my life, it's easy to see, looking backwards, at all the challenges and the way God stepped in, the way He was growing me, the way He used the right people at the right time in the right situation to help give me focus, to guide me, to help turn. God was so active in my life as I look back. Sometimes it's hard to see in that situation, though, right? But there's good there. As I think back to when I was working through cancer and I was in a hospital room in Shreveport, Louisiana. See, my family had a small dairy farm, and that dairy farm was about 2 hours away from Shreveport. We were on the other side of Monroe, Louisiana, close to Duck Dynastyville. Yeah, that's where I grew up. I just don't have the beard anymore. But because we lived on a small dairy farm, those cows didn't know what was going on. They wanted to be milked twice a day, so our family had to be there. And so there was a time when I was going through some tests in Shreveport where I was by myself. So there I am in that hospital room, facing the tests that are coming, still thinking about what's going on, wondering if I'm going to make it through this. And so put yourself in that situation. And I was struggling to find the good in the middle of that situation. And then in walks a nurse. She's there doing her regular duties. And somehow she picked up on the fact that I live way out in the country. And there's no McDonald's or anything like that way out in the country. And there had been a commercial that came on. And they were advertising some new strawberry shake. And I remember sharing with her, man, I hope I can get one of those strawberry shakes. Maybe I can convince my mom or dad when I leave to take me by and get a strawberry shake. And 10 minutes later, she brought me a strawberry shake. And so, you know, maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, really, Duckworth, you're telling me a strawberry shake is good in the middle of a challenging situation? And I get it. But for a young boy contemplating cancer and the pain, the doubt, by myself, that was huge. You see, God used that lady to show me that there was some good in the middle of that situation. But then it got even better because she brought me a hamburger, a Big Mac, and fries, and whoo, got better. But when I was sitting there with that strawberry shake, I spilled the thing all over me, all over the bed. It was so embarrassing, so humiliating for me. And I remember begging her, please don't tell anybody, I'll cover it up, I'll cover it up. Of course, she had to in just a few minutes, right? There was a team of people there. They were cleaning up the bed. They were cleaning me up. And for a while, maybe for 30 minutes, I forgot what I was going through. We were laughing. They were poking fun at me. For a few minutes, I forgot what was going on. For a few minutes, I was encouraged. And it all began with a strawberry shake. You see, in the middle of these challenging circumstances, I found in my life that there's often good there. You just have to look for it. In fact, what I found is that oftentimes, in the midst of that adversity, in the midst of that challenge, that there's an opportunity hiding itself. That in the midst of some of the most difficult challenges and adversity, God has an opportunity waiting for you. He just wants you to step out in faith. And I happen to believe, Greg talks about this a lot, and I love this because I believe in it, that God loves it when we decide to do something, that the only way that we can be successful is for God to come through and do what my wife calls show up and show off because he's large and in charge. See, God loves it when we look at it and go, I can't do that. But I'm going to put my faith in you, God, because I know that you can. God loves that. I want to talk about a passage in the Bible that I think illustrates this in such a powerful way. We're going to look at Numbers chapter 13 and 14, and we're going to begin looking at Numbers 13, chapter 13, verses 31 and 33. Let me give you the background here for you, just a minute. We all know the story. Moses has taken the Israelites out of bondage, away from Pharaoh, out of Egypt, and now they're moving toward the promised land, the place that God has for them. And so God tells Moses, send a scouting party out, send 10 people out to look at the land of Canaan, the promised land. So Moses puts together a team of people. They go out, they come back. Now what's interesting about this is, you have people with two different perspectives of the situation. The exact same situation, challenges and opportunity, two totally different views. So, perspective number one, Numbers 13, 31 and 33. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we seemed like that to them too. So now the second perspective, Numbers 14, verses 6 through 9. Now this is Joshua and Caleb speaking. The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into a land, that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of that land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Do you pick up on the difference of perspective there? One perspective focused on self and lack of capability and fear. We look like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look like that to them too. I wonder how they knew that. Did they walk up to these giants and ask them that? I'm not really sure, but right, they translated that. And then the second perspective focused on God and the greatness of the opportunity. Land of milk and honey. God will give us this land. God will help us devour them. One situation, two different perspectives. Sometimes that happens to me. Sometimes I'm in the middle of a situation, my mind can go immediately to the negative. Sometimes I need to take a rest stop, challenge myself, shift my perspective, see the positive, and see the opportunity. The really sad thing here for the Israelites is that God was providing them a wonderful opportunity. And all they had to do was put their faith in God, and he was ready to deliver them to the wonderful next phase of their life. But because of their lack of faith, they were destined to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years and never see the promised land. If they could have just seen the positive side, like Caleb and Joshua did, and all of the people could have got behind that, that opportunity, they would have gotten to the promised land, the land of milk and honey. But they wandered around for 40 years. You know, if we feel like that we're stuck or wandering through life, you know, maybe that's an opportunity for us to take a rest stop and look for those places where God has given us that opportunity to move to that next phase of our life. God stands ready to take us to that next phase. He just wants us to put our faith in him. Peace can come God's rest can come when we take a rest stop and look for the good in the situation. Make sure our perspective is looking for the positive. For me, it was in a hospital room, a nurse walking in. I can look back and see it. And that helped me learn how to look for it in the middle of some of the most challenging situations that I would encounter. Let's move on to the third point. When daily demands are beginning to pile up, or we have a challenge and we feel the stress coming on, and we need a little help finding the road to peace, to God's rest, take a rest stop and know that rest comes when we recognize that we're not in it alone. You know, facing a challenge alone, even a positive challenge, can be intimidating. It can be daunting, can it? But facing it with someone can give you confidence. It can give you hope. Let me encourage you and encourage myself. We need to be purposeful about our relationships. Life is just too short for us to surround ourselves with anyone who will not encourage us, be there with us, even challenge us sometimes when we need that, right? And then finally, perhaps the most important point around rest comes when we recognize that we're not in it alone, is that Jesus is right there with us all the time. Remember the talk in the beginning about entering into that rest? We enter into that rest by practicing our faith. And then remember that Jesus is right there with us as we practice to show us grace, love, and support. When I was 14 in the hospital, alone and scared, I can look back now and see that Jesus was right there with me, showing me love and giving me hope. When Laurie and I were struggling in our marriage, Jesus was right there with us, loving my wife, loving me, loving my children, giving us hope. And I know that. Knowing He is always there with me and that I don't have to go it alone, that gives me tremendous peace. So in closing, I'd like to ask you to consider doing something this week. First of all, you know, I think sometimes we get in a mode where we think living with high stress is just the part of way of life. But that's not the way God intended it. He wanted us to enter into His rest, to have His peace. And so if you're experiencing challenges in your life or you have high demands, let me encourage you this week, take a rest stop. Take a rest stop. And think about maybe looking back on your life and seeing where God has stepped in and helped out where only God can. Maybe He used the opportunity to grow you, to prepare you for the future. Maybe it was to encourage you. Maybe we can take some time this week and look at our situations and see if there's some positive in that. Look for that good. And then maybe there's an opportunity there and we're just not seeing it. And then finally, if you're facing a challenge alone, please don't do that. Reach out to a friend or a family member. Go through that challenge with somebody. And know that we are always here for you. There will be leaders up front here in a minute who stand ready to hear what you're going through, to pray with you, to encourage you, and to guide you on your next steps. And we have a prayer wall over here too. We have people who pray for you, get together at least once a week, and trust me, they take these so seriously and pray for them. We're here for you. And then most importantly, remember that we have a Savior in Jesus Christ, that if you don't know Him, that is the first step to peace. And there will be people up here that can talk to you about that as well. But He is there. He loves you no matter what you're going through. He stands ready to take your hopes and your dreams to the Father on your behalf. So be encouraged. Let's pray. God, thank You so much for this opportunity to get together and worship You, and thank You, Lord, for giving us a place of rest, helping us understand that we don't have to go through life alone, that You've given us a place in You, a place of hope, a place of peace, a place of rest. And thank You through Your word that You show us the way to get there. that it's in your word. It's in Jesus. I pray for our congregation today, Lord, that whatever they're going through, God, that you would this week, as they take a rest stop, that you would put your loving arms around them, hold them and support them, and remind them that you are God, the creator of the universe, and that you stand ready to help their hopes and dreams come true. And I ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.